Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Folks, it's never too late. Thank God. It's never too late to have a happy childhood. It's never too late to change our minds. It's never too late to claim our good. And that's what we're talking about today, particularly in terms of claiming our good. Looking at the life story of Jacob from Genesis. It's quite a story, and it's the second in our series. We're looking at epiphanies that have happened to people in history, in the Bible, and really as a template to us of how we approach our own openings to God. And last week we looked at the burning bush and Moses. Next week we'll look at the Buddha, and then Jesus the week after that, and his own vision quest in the wilderness. And today we look at the story of Jacob, and it's a long story, you know, it goes on for many chapters in the Bible, a lot of detail, a lot of subtlety to it, but I want to keep it simple as much as I can, and even so, there's a lot to take on board, but find what is meaningful for you, I would suggest, in this story. The first thing I want to point out is Jacob was the world's first venture capitalist. He was the world's first corporate raider, if you like. And we learn a lot from this mentality of consciousness. You know, think about it. The first few things he did, he ripped off his brother's birthright, right? He stole his brother's birthright. And then he hoodwinked his dad into giving him a special blessing, even though it should have gone to his favored son, because Isaac favored Esau, not Jacob. Well, let's talk about these two corporate raids, if you like, into cheating, basically. You know, the first one, his brother Esau was coming down. He was a hunter. He was coming down from the mountains, and he was hungry. He was thirsty, really in need of a meal. And Jacob had been at home cooking, you know. This is the difference between them. One was the hunter out in the mountains. The other one was a part of the Culinary Institute of Israel. So he was cooking up some lentil soup, and he says, "Give me some of that soup." And Jacob, being the smart, canny corporate raider that he was, said, "Yes, sure, have some soup, but I'd like you to give me your birthright." You know, when the birthright, since he was the eldest son, he had the birthright, which means double the amount of money you inherited and the fact you became the head of the family. Well, he didn't care about this. All he wanted was the food, so he was willing to give away his birthright for that mess of pottage, as the King James Version puts it. Lentil soup is the way we'd phrase it. Second thing, he wants to get the special blessing. Well, see, his father wants to give the blessing to Esau because Esau's the hunter. He's the macho man. He's the one that he likes the most. He brings home tasty dishes from the mountains. So he sets it up that he wants this blessing. Well, Jacob overhears this, and with the conniving of his mom, who happens to favor Jacob, Rebecca favors Jacob, they arrange it. At this point in Isaac's life, he is blind. So he cannot see who's coming to him. So Jacob's mother puts on skins on his arms so he looks as hairy as Esau is, and dresses him in Esau's clothes so he's going to smell like Esau, right? And brings him then to his father for the blessing. Well, you know, his father may be blind, but he's not completely stupid. He says, "Wait a minute, you sound like Jacob. Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Esau." And he says, "Really? Let me feel you." So he feels his arms, and they're all hairy, just like Esau. He says, "Well, maybe that's who you are. Come closer. Let me kiss you so I can smell you." Well, he smells the clothes. So he smells Esau, and he gives him the blessing that should have gone to the other son. So Jacob stole the special blessing. The blessing was, you know, you will be fruitful, you will multiply, you will have all the blessings of this land. It can only be given once. When Esau shows up thinking it's his time for the blessing, guess what happens? He hasn't got one, and he's mightily... he's very upset. He wants to kill Jacob, right? And as a result, we get the first epiphany, and I will go into that in a second. Let me sketch in just the background that might help us here. the first out of the womb, they are twins, but the first out of the womb is Esau, and he comes out, so the Bible says, red and covered in hair. He was had a hairy coat all over him. And then comes Jacob, but he's grabbing hold of, and that's why his name is Esau. It means hairy one. He's the hairy one. And then comes Jacob, and he's grabbing hold of the heel of his brother, and so he's given the name Jacob. It means heel snatcher or supplanter. Interesting, isn't it? But the one is fairly hairless and hangs out at the camp. The other one's hairy and goes to the mountains. I would suggest one represents the more physical part of ourselves, and the other represents, obviously, the conniving, intellectual, mental part of ourselves, which supplants the physical. But, you know, there's always payback, isn't there, when you're manipulating and controlling things. You don't get out scot-free. There ain't no free lunch. He's on the run because his brother's after him for cheating him out of his birthright and now his special blessing. Ever done this? Ever been a little bit underhand in some of the dealings that you've had in your life? No, we're all good unity people. We've never done that. But just in case, there may be some elements of this conniving corporate raiding going on, right? Here's the first epiphany. He's running away because he wants to escape from the consequences of his actions. He's not a fool. And he has this amazing epiphany, which we're all familiar with, right? Jacob's dream, where he sees the ladder and the angels ascending and descending. Let me read it, and we can unpack it a little bit. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he had reached a certain place, he stopped for the night since the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of that place, he made it his pillow and lay down where he was. Not very comfortable, but better than nothing, I guess. He had a dream. There was a ladder planted on the ground with its top reaching to heaven, and God's angels were going up and down on it. And there was Yahweh standing beside him and saying, I, Yahweh, the Lord, am the God of Abraham, your father. The ground on which you're lying, I shall give you and your descendants forever. And he goes on and tells other blessings. Then Jacob awoke. He woke from his sleep and said, truly, the Lord is in this place, and I didn't even know it. He was afraid and said, how awe-inspiring this place is. This is nothing less than the abode of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Early next morning, Jacob took the stone he'd used for his pillow and set it up as a pillar, pouring oil over the top of it. He named the place Bethel, the house of God. But before that, the town had been called Luz. Jacob then made his vow, if God remains with me and keeps me safe on this journey I'm making, if he gives me food to eat and clothes to wear, and if I come home safe to my father's home, then Yahweh shall be my God. This stone I've set up as a pillar is to be the house of God, and I shall faithfully pay you, God, a tenth part of everything you give me. There's a lot in there. But what happened for him in that epiphany? What shift happened from being this manipulator and raider and venture capitalist? What happened? What did he understand? Anything strike you? What's this about the angels rising up and coming down? Think about it. Everything is connected. Everything's connected. See, when we're in this mentality of using others, we don't think that it's connected. We think we can get away with stuff, right? We think that, oh, well, that doesn't bother me. I'm separate from that. It's like throwing trash out of your car. It doesn't matter anymore. It's out of my world. But the reality is it's still in our world, yeah? When we treat and hurt others, then the hurt is still there, and it's in us as well. So what he's found, I think, is this, we are connected. I am not separate from my brother. I'm not separate from God. I am connected in a deep way. And I would suggest this is the first level of understanding we reach when we come into unity, yes? We acknowledge, oh, yeah, I see that we are really all one. We're all connected. And we've all got an inkling of that, haven't we? Otherwise, we would not be here, folks. But then we go from this place of unity, and we start living our regular lives. And guess where we go? Back into separation. Back into maybe a little pity party. We had quite a few pity parties going on at 9:30. Anybody have a pity party this week? Even if it was just a minor one? Okay, a couple of honest people. three, four, five, or it's mounting up now. See, it's easy to love everybody in general, isn't it? But really hard to love a particular person. Have you noticed this? I'm in unity now. I love everybody. But I can't stand you. You know, we got to be honest. See, this is the first level of epiphany, is understanding our connectedness. And you know, we can be so full of excitement about it that we're willing to tithe. Oh, my God! We're going to tithe now. See, I'm willing to give back to God. This is a huge breakthrough for Jacob, because I don't think he was giving back much. He was just taking. But in that epiphany, when he acknowledged his connectedness, he was willing to give. Unfortunately, you know, it doesn't always work out quite as nicely, and that's why the story continues. But, you know, if you've used and abused your brother and your dad, there's going to be payback, isn't there? There's got to be, if everything's connected, what goes around comes around. He arrives at his uncle's house and farm, and there he falls in love with his uncle's beautiful, beautiful daughter, Rachel. But the uncle says, listen, you can't have her unless you've worked for 7 years. Work for 7 years, you can have her. And he's willing to do this work. See, he's learned enough to know. And here's the integration, folks. He's not separate from the hairy one. He's not separate from the physical. He has to integrate. We all have to integrate our nice ideas with our humanness, with our basic animal instincts, with the basic physicality of ourselves, yes? And so he's willing to work at this. It's not a nice idea anymore. I'm willing to work for this beautiful lady. The end of 7 years, Laban, the uncle, cheats him and gives him another daughter, Leah, who he doesn't love. And they have children, but it's not a love match. And so Jacob says, okay, I'm going to work for 7 more years to get Rachel. Right? So, folks, he's put in how many work years now? 14 years to gain what he wants. What's the significance here for us? What message is there? Don't give up. You'll get it eventually. Keep on keeping on. Sometimes it takes work, folks. That's the thing. Sometimes it takes willingness, but also the ability to actually put it into practice. You know, you can't be a fair weather friend with this stuff. That's the message. And it's a big journey from understanding it intellectually. Oh, yeah, we're all connected. I get the ladder idea, to actually living it in our lives, right? Well, at the end of 14 years, he's had about enough. He wants to go his separate ways from uncle, you know, and so he wants to separate the flocks. Well, this time Laban's going to do a deal on him there, because he promises him all the what is it, the dark goats and the dark sheep, okay, and the speckled ones and the striped ones, you know. That's right. He promises them the speckled ones and the striped ones, the dark ones he's going to give to his uncle. Well, unfortunately, while he's sleeping, his uncle steals all the striped ones and the speckled ones for himself and sends them off to his other sons. And so when he wakes up in the morning, he realizes there's not many sheep left for him. So he does a spectacular thing, which is highly metaphysical. He creates striped rods of wood that he places near the sheepfold and where they drink, so that everything that they see is the stripe. And then when the ewes give birth, they give birth to striped lambs. What goes around comes around. This is a perfect metaphysical idea, isn't it? What thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. You want striped sheep? Think striped thoughts. As a result, there were more and more striped sheep, and so his uncle was getting nothing now. And so he wasn't very happy with him. He went back to corporate raiding, folks. He went back to those old ways like we do. See, intellect will do this. Even though we've had the breakthrough, we still want to use our intellect to manipulate others. Yeah, this is the downside. Laban was very angry, came after him. They reconciled. But then a greater enemy came, and that was his brother. His brother has finally now got 400 men together. He was going to beat the living daylights out of Jacob. In fact, he wanted to kill him. Now, Jacob at this point was much wiser than he was at the beginning, as we all are, because we go through the school of hard knocks, yeah? We've learned one or two things, and Jacob is mightily afraid that the final showdown is coming, but he wants reconciliation with his brother desperately, and he takes all these precautions to avoid bloodshed, but eventually he knows that something's going to come down. It's time to face the music. And I want to read the second epiphany, because the second epiphany really is so powerful compared to the first one. I would suggest the first one is lovely. It shows our connectedness. But this really brings it on home into our being, into our physical, mental, spiritual natures. And here we go. It's chapter 32. The same night, he got up. He's on the run again, remember. He's on the run from home. He's afraid of Esau. He's just barely reconciled with his uncle. Things aren't looking too good. The same night, he got up and taken his two wives and his two slave girls and his 11 children. Remember, he'd been busy over these years. He crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had taken them across the stream, he sent all his possessions over too, because he'd accumulated a lot here, you know, as we do. Sometimes I'm amazed at the amount of things in my house. Where'd they all come from? My closet. We've been there before, haven't we? We're not going there again. I was beat up so bad on that one, I'm not going there again. Still getting references to all my shirts. It's very sad. Don't put me off now. I'm right in the middle here. I'm putting myself off. And Jacob was left alone. Remember last week, Moses had to go up to Mount Horeb, which means in Hebrew, alone or solitude. We have to, when we face ourselves, it has to be alone, one-on-one, right? Nobody can do it for you at that moment when you're going to get this breakthrough epiphany. And then it says, and you tell me who this guy is, okay? Then someone wrestled with him until daybreak. I'll read the rest, and then we can answer that question. Who, seeing that he could not master him, struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was dislocated as he wrestled with him. He said, "Let me go, for day is breaking." Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The other said, "What's your name?" "Jacob," he replied. He said, "No longer are you to be called Jacob, but Israel, since you have shown your strength against God and men and have prevailed." Israel means he who strives with God. Then Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." And he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" With that, he blessed him there. Jacob named the place Peniel, because "I have seen God face to face," he said, "and I've survived." The sun rose as he passed Peniel, limping from his hip. That is why to this day the Israelites do not eat the thigh sinew, which is at the hip socket, because he had struck Jacob at the hip socket on the thigh sinew. Now, folks, this whole story isn't just the reason why Jews don't eat the thigh socket and all that stuff. There's got to be deeper significance than that, yes? So what is it? Who is this person, this someone? You know, sometimes they say it was an angel, but what is it? Who's wrestling with Jacob at this time? His ego? His conscience? These are all good answers. It's an aspect of himself, though, isn't it? It's not somebody outside of himself. It could be his higher self struggling to make him understand a different way, right? Whoever it is, it's that inner struggle that we go through, isn't it? Sometimes we do it all night, sometimes for weeks, months, years, until we understand the truth of our being, yeah? And notice, this man could not overcome or master Jacob. Why not? Jacob was stubborn, and it takes a stubborn attitude to succeed in life. You've got to keep sticking at it, yeah? So my message there, what I take from it, is it's not bad that he's who he is. There's nothing wrong with being Jacob, as long as you understand that you are not just intellect, you are not just your body, you are a beautiful, integrated spirit, soul, mind, and body, right? And if that's the case, which comes first, folks? If we're going to have a priority list, which comes first? Spirit moving through our minds into our bodies, see? And woe betide us if we put it any other way, because Jacob wanted his intellect to be the master. That's not going to work. And Esau only wanted the physical. That's certainly not going to work. He lost out. But the ultimate power comes from spirit. And so there's that alignment. And you notice this. He said, I'm not going to let go until you give me a blessing. We dare to claim our blessing this year, don't we? 2013, I'm claiming my good. I'm claiming my blessing from God. You have a unique blessing that God wants to give you, but sometimes you have to wrestle with it all night. Yeah? What does it mean to wrestle with it? Sometimes you have to fight for it. See, we say in unity, oh, let go and let God. It's all going to come to you. Just relax. Well, maybe, but there's an amazing amount of courage and strength that's involved in relaxing. Do you see what I'm saying? It takes a lot of effort to let go, a lot of willingness, a lot of strength and power here. It's not just an intellectual understanding. It's visceral. That's what I like about the wrestling, too. This is in my body. It's not just a nice idea and a concept. No, this is real, right? I'm feeling it. And if you're a good wrestler, you know it's about a dance. You know, it's a giving and receiving. Yeah? If you're overly tight doing it, you're not going to succeed. There has to be that release, that willingness to let go, that opening to spirit. Why was Jacob's hip dislocated? To slow him down, maybe, yeah? To slow us down? When you've had a blessing, do you come out scot-free? Generally not. You know, we're the walking wounded, folks. We're the wounded healers. We've been impacted by life. Yes, we got our battle scars, the hip in this case, the limp. But that's a testimony to the fact we've done the work, you know? In this human level, we've all suffered in some way. We all carry around that dislocation. And I would not think that's a bad thing. That shows our humanness and the fact we've done some work on this planet. You know, we've got a few wrinkles. Good. We've lived. We don't want to blow dry them or Botox them out. You know, they're the reality of who we are. They're the dislocated parts of us that show us our true humanness and open us to something greater than what we thought we were. It's the crack where the light gets in, and we're all a little cracked. What's your name? He says to the presence, and the presence says, why'd you ask me my name? Why? Because it was him. You're asking me about yourself. We're in a struggle with ourselves, aren't we? So, all right, let's wrap it up. There's a long story here. What do we take from this? A couple of things. We had some wonderful answers and ideas at 9:30, so we can do better than them, can't we? We're more awake. You know, we had an hour more awakeness than they did. So what are we taking from this that's useful for us in our lives? What part of Jacob is helpful for you? Throw it out there. No pain, no gain. There we go. You got to struggle for this sometimes. You know, there's work, there's effort. Am I a fair weather friend to spirit, or am I willing to go the whole distance? Don't quit. Keep on keeping on. Move beyond your mistakes, right? We're all going to make mistakes, but that doesn't judge us, right? That's not what's limiting in us. It's our self-sabotage that says, oh, well, those things are, that's why I can't be. Jacob never gave up. Jacob was always creative. Ask for your blessing. Claim your good. Ask for your blessing. You know, sometimes we don't feel worthy to ask. You know, oh, well, I'm not ready for it right now. Why not? What a great idea to claim your good instead of manipulating others to get your good. I love it. Instead of manipulating yourself and trying to make yourself this perfect person, you know, no, be real. Goodness knows Jacob was very real, very down to earth, a scallywag. He knew what his heart's desire was, yes, and he kept pushing even through mistakes, right? Even through his ego, he still kept focused on the goal at hand. Amen. He found the higher place. He integrated himself with all aspects of his being, didn't he? It wasn't just a nice idea of angels on ladders anymore. It was here. It was right here in his hips. It was in his solar plexus. It was in the reality of his being. Have dinner with the presence. Integrate it. Have a meal with it. Yeah. What are your motives for anything that you do, you know? And if they're not the greatest motives, it doesn't matter. The more it matters is you've noticed them, because that gives you insight, right? So it's not about, oh, I shouldn't have that. No, you did have it. integrate it, see what it really means. It's not there as a curse, it's there as a blessing. So don't beat up on yourself because you had the wrong motivation. No. Why did I have the wrong motivation? What am I mistaking here? Why am I seeing separation instead of integration and unity? So much to learn. Be willing to reconcile, even at the cost of great fear and trepidation, right? He was willing to do the work. My God, he tried to resist it. He was fighting all night over it. And let's end with that. Guess what happens next after the wonderful epiphany that happened at the ford of Jabbok when he wrestles with the angelic presence? The very next thing, Esau comes and they reconcile beautifully. Because, see, it happens naturally when we've done the inner work ourselves. The fears have gone because we've been willing to work through our own struggles, come to that peaceful place, and then it's made manifest. It's a great story. Dip into it, like 5 chapters of Genesis. Fascinating, wonderful stuff. So it is.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.